want to talk to you tonight about three of his most Jesus' most important conversations. They're found in John, the third chapter, fourth chapter, and the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John. The first one in John 3 is this ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus, comes to Jesus Christ, and he comes at night, which is interesting. The reason, obviously, he came at night is because he's a ruler of the Jews, and he did not want the people to know that he is coming to Jesus Christ to talk to him. So he purposely comes at night because it's dangerous to talk to Jesus. The Pharisees are against him. The Sadducees, the ruling people, are against him. And he's a very controversial figure at that point in time. So he comes at night. He says, you know, no one could do what you're doing except God would be with him. And Jesus goes to the heart of the matter, to this great ruler of the Jews, educated, brilliant man, and says to him, you must be born again. Doesn't answer, goes right to the heart of the matter. Doesn't answer him about what he said about Jesus. He says, you have to be born again. And he says, how can this be? How can a man be born again? Can't enter your mother's womb the second time and be born? Jesus says to him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, or don't be overwhelmed or struggle with the thoughts that you have to be born again. He said, nobody is in this world that didn't get here by being born. Every person in the world gets here the same way. They all are born. All of them were given birth by their mothers. There was a conception. The child was formed in the mother's womb. And that child is born into this world, and nobody is here. That's the only way you get here, folk. Everybody in this building was born by some mother. Someone gave you birth. All of you were conceived by the seed of some father. And that's the only way you get into the world is by birth. You're born into this world. Everybody. And he says, the only way in the world you're going to get into the spiritual world of heaven is by being born of the Spirit. Everybody that's there will get there the same way that you got into this world, by a birth. The only way you're going to be there is with a birth. Don't marvel at that. That's how you got into this world. That which is of the flesh was born of the flesh. And that which is of the Spirit of God is born of the Spirit. You have to have a second birth to be part of God's kingdom. You'll never see it. Nobody has ever seen this world that wasn't born here. Everybody is born into this world. And everybody that gets into heaven is born of the Spirit. He said you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit, or you will not enter heaven. You have to have a birth. And you receive that birth by receiving Jesus Christ into your heart and life, and he is born within you. And as St. Peter says, and John says in his writings, he says, and his seed remains in you, and you will never want to live in sin. He said, you'll never live in sin once you've been born again. Not, that is, you will not be satisfied or you will not be happy living in sin. You'll resist it. You will resist this living in sin, a state of sin. Because the seed of Christ is in you, you have another birth. Christ is within you. It's like a lamb doesn't want to fall into the mud. If it may fall in, but it won't be happy there. It'll get out, would love to get washed. But a pig looks for the mud. He wants the mud. He's looking for it. So those that are of the pig nature, unborn, they like the dirt. But those that are born of God don't like it, want out, are looking for deliverance, are praying to be set free. They don't want all that life because there's something in them. There's a birth. You have to be born again. What an incredible thing. And it's the birth that Jesus Christ will come into your life. Now, people have different experiences in being born again. For an example, in this life, nobody knows when you were born. Nobody knows. You don't remember when you were born. You wake up and you're here. You don't know it. You don't know when you come. You touch something, you touch the fire, and you get burned. You say, don't do that again. You learn, you're experiencing, but you don't know when you were born. Now, some of us have dramatic experiences of being born again. We know exactly when it happened. But some folks accept Christ and don't have and are born when they're children into the kingdom and accept Christ early and don't have the same experience. But they come to know Christ is within them because there's a spirit within them that doesn't want the wrong thing, that doesn't want it. It can fall like a lamb into it, but you cry, you want out. You're looking for another life. There's something within you. If you've been born again of the seed of Christ, Christ is within you. St. Peter says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have hope. We have Jesus Christ within us. We have been born of His Spirit. Marvel not that I said you have to be born of the kingdom. Everybody in heaven has been born again with the Spirit of Jesus Christ who has been in them. Jesus says, later on in John's Gospel, He says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abides alone. But if I die, He says, and that He's talking of Himself, He will bring forth. Now His seed, we are born of the seed of Christ. Christ had no earthly children, but He gave His life. And now it's a spiritual experience. Now by faith, we become of the seed of Christ. Christ Jesus comes within us and lives within us, and we have His Spirit within us. Hallelujah. We took His blood tonight. We partook of His body tonight. We have Jesus' blood within us. We have His body within us. We drank of His blood and we partook of His body, and we have His life within us, and we are never going to die. Hallelujah. Then this body will lay down in the grave if Jesus tarries, but our spirit that is born of Him will never die. We have the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. We have eternal life. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have life within us. His life has been born within us. Now, you must feed that. And communion is one way we feed on it. I'm so thankful this church has it weekly. So important that we identify with His death and resurrection continually, that we realize Christ Jesus lives within us, and we have been born of His Spirit. Hallelujah. And we will never die. These old bodies, if He doesn't come soon, we will lay down in the grave. But our spirit will go to be with Him. And in that resurrection morning, these bodies are going to come up with a new body like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Now, what a thing to think that we have Jesus Christ living within us. He's in us. And His Spirit is telling you, don't do that. Do this. He's talking to you. Now, I'll give you a word of advice before we go to the next chapter. And that is, pay attention. Let the Spirit of Christ dwell within you richly. Let Christ take over in your life. Become more like Him all the time. A little child is born, grows up and grows up and grows up and becomes the man or a woman that God wants them to be. And you are in the spirit world, must grow up in God and become the spiritual man and the spiritual woman that God wants you to be. You must feed that inner man. Feed the Spirit of God. Starve the flesh. Don't let the world take over in your life. Don't let Satan take over. Don't let bad things take over in your life. Starve the flesh. Put it down. Bring it into subjection. And let the Spirit grow and expand. And let the Holy Spirit of God dwell within you and become, make you the man and the woman that God wants you to be. Hallelujah. 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 Become. We are becoming. We haven't arrived, but we are becoming. We're growing. We're becoming what God wants us to be. Hallelujah. Because He has been born within us. We have had a second birth, and we know Him as our Savior. We talk to Him, and if we feed on Him, we receive communion, and His body is going to be like our body is going to be as His body. Hallelujah. And we're going to be with His blood, which could never die. It's sinless blood. Hallelujah. We took it tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I have eternal life within me. Hallelujah. So in the second conversation that Jesus had, which is, this is important because without it, you'll never see God. Never going to see heaven. Never going to be part of it. You have to have that birth. Now, in his second conversation, in the fourth chapter, it's with this woman from the well, and she is, he goes to Samaria, Sychar or Samaria. He goes to an area that Jacob, his well is, and where Jacob had fed and had given to his son Joseph, and he is tired. He's been walking all morning. It's about 12 o'clock at noontime. 6 hours of the day would be equal to our 12. And he's been walking for hours, and he's tired. And he's sitting down, and this Samaritan woman comes to the well and draws water. It's a deep well, and she's drawing water. And Jesus says to her, he's so thirsty, thirsty. Give me a drink. Now, water was so important, and it was such a part of their lifestyle. They had to draw this water to feed the animals. They had to draw this water to do everything, to drink, to wash their clothes. Water is a tremendously important thing, and thirst is something they were familiar with in that tropical area. Walking for hours, he is so thirsty. He's really thirsty. And that water, cold, cool water, seems so wonderful. He asks her, she's drawing that water, could you have a drink? You know, most people in this in today in this country and around here, and have never lived in a farm or those countries, don't know what thirst is. Many people have no idea. Some carpenters and people that work out in the sun and those kind of folks, they get an idea of what thirst is. I remember I was working at a boy, 11 years old, no father. I worked in the summertime just like a man at 11 years old. I was chopping cotton. Never forget it. I'm about 11, and no shirt on, big straw hat. Can you picture me? I got a big straw hat on, no shirt, overalls, no shoes, didn't have any shoes. Nobody wore shoes down in the Depression in the South anyway. Those years I lived in the South. I lived down there 12 years, born in Connecticut, but I was raised, spent 12 years there. So I was working 12 hours a day. I worked for 45 cents. That's what they all got. My brother and I were working this day, and we started 7 in the morning to 7 at night with an hour off for lunch. And you couldn't get any water from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, we could stop, and you were allowed to go to the well and get water. I am so thirsty. It's hard to describe it unless you've really been thirsty. You don't know what it's all about. I am so thirsty. I'm drenching wet. It's so hot. And I've been chopping that cotton now for 3 hours. And you stick your hoe in the ground and put the dirt on it, and you run. When it's the boss says, okay, it's time for water, water time. Boy, we run to the well. There's a big old oak tree, never forget it, and a great big well. And we were different ones are drawing water. It's a deep well. And people are pushing each other. All these men are working and pushing to get to the water first and grabbing that bucket. And there's a big dipper, and everybody drinks. And you get that dipper, and you take a dipper full of water, and you pour it on you and drink that water, and it is incredible how wonderful it tastes. And my brother said this, and he always said this. Now, I'm going to be the last one. I want to be last. I don't care how thirsty I am, I'm going to be last. Because, he said, when I start drinking, I don't want anybody punching me in the ribs. I don't want any of you folks telling me to stop. I don't want anybody to get in my way. I want to drink till I'm full, till I'm not thirsty. So he'd always be the last one. And Jesus was thirsty like that, so thirsty. And he said, could I have a drink? She said, how is this that you, a Jew, and a man, a Jewish man, speaking to a Samaritan woman? Jews don't talk to Samaritans. He said, lady, he said, whatever he called her, if you knew who it is speaking to you, you would ask me for a drink. Because the water that I give you, you'd never thirst again. She said, how are you going to do it? Are you greater than Jacob? You don't have any bucket. The well is deep. And besides, she said, are you greater than Jacob who drank here and his people who drank here? And he said, well, then, you know, what I give you, you'll never thirst again. And they were talking, so she says, give me some of this living water that I won't come here to draw water from this well. He says, go call your husband so he could drink too. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, oh, I know that. He says, you've had five husbands. And the man you have, he said it not respectfully. And he says, the man that you have now is not your husband. She said, you're a prophet? He said, you know, we've heard that when Messiah comes, he's going to tell us everything. And he says, he's going to tell us all the things. He's got all the answers. And Jesus says, you know, you folks worship in Samaria, and we worship in Jerusalem. The Jews have the right. We have salvation. You folks don't. But they keep talking back and forth. And then finally, she says, you're the prophet. Jesus speaks on to her. And then he says, I am the Messiah. He that speaketh to you, I am Messiah. I am that Messiah that you're talking about that was to come. She drops the bucket. She heads out, forgets the water, as thirsty as she is, and runs back and says to the folks, could this be the Messiah? He told me everything, and he stays there 3 days. But the wonderful part of the story is that Jesus says, you drink of this water. And, of course, many came and believed he stayed there 2 days. The point I wanted to make was, he said, when you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. It quenches the deepest thirst of your soul. It's interesting. The first man to conversation is the new birth. This conversation is what the new birth will do for you. What it happens when you're born again. In this conversation, it is that it satisfies. It brings peace. It brings deep peace. And it's so interesting that he says it to her, because she thought marriage and sex and some man would satisfy her. And she's tried five, and none of them have worked. No man could satisfy her. And let me tell you, there is no man that can satisfy the longing of any woman's heart. And there is no woman that can satisfy the deep longings of your heart. She thought marriage would do it. And if I could find the right man. How many folks in the world today in America, where we're getting divorced and remarried and divorced and not married and living together, trying this man, trying that one, trying this woman. If ever the fourth chapter of John was needed, it's needed in America. Because marriage doesn't do that. It wasn't designed to do that. It's important, and if you get the right one, it's wonderful, but it won't do that. You're expecting something that marriage can't do. And folks think that money will do it. One wealthy man said to me one time, I thought money would do it. I went after it, but he said, when I got there and I became a wealthy man, it didn't do it. There's never enough. Never enough. Money won't do it. Money, things will not do it. No, they won't do it. You can get all the richest men are trying to be richer. Why, it doesn't work. Money won't do it. Success and fame won't do it. It does not work. It doesn't bring that. Yes, the world can offer pleasure. It's the Bible says that. But at the end, you're still empty. The people that are going to come out tonight after a night out in the world and over the weekend and going all night and carousing and living wrong, going to be empty the next day. Alcohol won't do it. You have to keep drinking. It never satisfies. Drugs won't do it. Sex won't do it. Money won't do it. Fame won't do it. Jesus satisfies. Hallelujah. He satisfies. Hit that. There's a peace. There's a deep peace comes to you when you know Jesus. Peace that the world cannot give. The world can give pleasure. Yes, there can be excitement. There can be pleasure in the world. The Bible does not ever say there's not. But it doesn't satisfy you. You have to keep going back. It never does it. But Jesus Christ can put peace in your heart that nothing in the world can give and Satan can never take away. He gives you that deep, deep peace of God. You go through troubles and trials, and being a Christian does not eliminate trouble. It doesn't say you're trouble-free when you're a Christian. I didn't say that. You're not trouble-free for a Christian. We have troubles like the world has, but we have peace and we have an assurance and we know who we are. And we can go through when they collapse. We can go through. Hallelujah. And we come out victorious on the other side. Hallelujah. I have been through some very sad experiences. Frightening experience. My greatest fears have never happened. But I've had tragedy. Remember the night my wife is sitting right over here. Remember the night at 3 o'clock in the morning in January 19, on that day of January, the policeman knocks on my door and I rush down. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and two policemen are there with their heads down. And he says, is this Mr. Crandall? And I said, yes. He said, I hate to tell you, but your daughter was just killed tonight in an automobile accident. Our wonderful, beautiful daughter. And some folks thought, well, we'll go to pieces. We were broken. Crushed because it was dark. But looking back, it's incredible the peace that God gave me. The peace. It couldn't be worse. My only daughter. I loved her more than life. An only daughter. We loved her. We were so broken. But deep within me, while I'm broken, I have an incredible peace that I can't understand or explain to you that God gave me, was standing with me. I got up and spoke at my daughter's funeral. I preached at my daughter's funeral. Brokenhearted, but I read what she had just written because she surmised she had an understanding, most spiritual as she had been. She had an intuition and wrote some beautiful and very touching things that I read. You know what, folks? People look at me and I look at myself now. How did I do it? I didn't. God stepped in and sustained us and lifted us up. Hallelujah. Because I knew where she was. I know where my daughter is. I know that. Sad? Yes. Brokenhearted? Did we cry a lot? Yes. A long time? Yes. But deep within me, I had a peace. Satan, I know where my daughter is. And when life is all over, and when I lay my head down, I know I'm going to see her again. Hallelujah. 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 I am talking about something I know about. This thing is real. And you do go through deep trials. And there are tests. And there are sadness. And there are deep waters that we go through. But there's something within me that holdeth the reins. There's something within me that I cannot explain. There's something within me. Hallelujah. That we never give up, because I know I've got within me the peace of God. And I know that all things work together for good. I don't care what the devil says. All things work together for good. Hallelujah. 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 I thank Him tonight. Hallelujah. I want to praise Him tonight for the peace He's given me, for the hard times, because it's real. It's real. Knowing Christ is real. There's victory in Jesus. I don't care what the devil throws at you. You're going to be an overcomer. And you're going to win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's peace. We're victorious. Hallelujah. Can look death in the face and say, we're coming up. Hallelujah. Death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? We have won. Hallelujah. So you need this peace that you don't go to pieces. When you have the peace of God, you don't go to pieces. Hallelujah. Because you've got peace within you. Hallelujah. And all things work together for good to those that know God. Your trials won't be as mine. Mine aren't like yours. But we all have them. But I want you to know something. When you walk with Jesus, in the midst of your trouble, He's the closest. He's right there. I want to tell you, He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you'll look back and you'll be amazed at yourself how you did it. Hallelujah. But He takes you through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in the fifth chapter of John, He heals the man, the lame man, 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. He heals him at this pool. He's been there 38 years, and there's a great feast going on, and Jesus goes to Jerusalem, and there's this man that is there for 38 years, and He says to him, would you like to be well, be healed? He says, but there's nobody to put me in the water. When the angel comes down and troubles the water, somebody always gets in front of me. And I'm never the one that gets it. I'm always left. And I've been here 38 years afflicted with this infirmity. We don't know what the infirmity was. But He says, I can't get in. I can't get into the water alone. I have to have help. And Jesus speaks to him, and he is immediately healed. And Jesus says, the strength comes in. He's healed. Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. And the man, power strikes him. He's healed. Boy, he's excited. He grabs his bed and he goes in. And the leaders, the Jewish leaders, it's in Jerusalem, and the feast, and the incredible number of people there. And he says, you're not supposed to carry your bed. It's a Sabbath, man. He says, but the man that healed me says, pick up your bed and walk. Man, I pick my bed up and I'm walking. And he said, don't you know it's the Sabbath? He said, yeah, but I just got healed. And I can't leave my bed there. The man that healed me said, who was it? He said, I don't know. Jesus met him in the temple and told him who he was, and said, go and sin no more. The worst thing doesn't come to you. And interesting how he never said that to many people, but he said it to him. His problem was that. There's all kinds of problems and reasons, and that was his. And he goes back and he says, it was Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one that healed me. And he said, they wanted to kill him. And the leaders of the Jews were ready to stone him and kill him. So they confront him. And why in the world did you heal on the Sabbath? And Jesus says to them, my Father is working. Oh, that made them more furious than before. My Father is working, and so I'm working also. Your Father is working on the Sabbath? He's healing people on the Sabbath, yeah. We do our healing business on the Sabbath as well as any other day. Father is working. And he said, when he called God his Father, making himself equal with God, he said, they said, we really are going to kill you. We're going to kill you. And Jesus begins to talk with them. And in his conversation in the fifth chapter of John, I want to just read a little bit of it to you. He says, most of my Father works, and then he goes on to say, those that honor him, and he defends himself, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all that honor the Son just as they honor the Father. They're looking to kill him. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And there he's talking about his Father. Most assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you, and absolutely, most assuredly, absolutely, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, and believing in him and who sent him, he has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. He's speaking of resurrection morning and of Lazarus, and the first fruits. Many got out of the grave the day that Jesus on resurrection morning. Then he goes on to say, do not marvel or don't be amazed at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. All are going to hear my voice. All are going to hear. The dead are going to hear it. Praise God. And they're going to come forth. There is a judgment. In the beginning of his words to them, he says, and those that know me and receive me, those that have the birth of the third chapter and the experience of the fourth chapter, you're going to have the experience of the fifth chapter, which is progressive, which says there will be no judgment for you. There is no judgment for those that know Jesus Christ. He says that the trumpet will sound. They'll hear my voice. I'm going to speak. And all of the dead in all of the graves of this city and all over the world, everybody's going to come. Two resurrections. The resurrection of the righteous first. There first, but then after that, the resurrection of the dead, spoken of in more detail in Revelation, when all of the earth and hell gives up its dead, and the sea give up its dead, and the graves give up their dead, and every person that's ever lived and breathed is going to stand before God. Every grave is going to be emptied. And everybody's going to stand before God. And every word they have spoken, every word, every deed is going to be judged. And every person who has not known Christ, we will not be at that judgment. Because he says here, those that know him are not going to be at the judgment. We will not be judged. We will not be there. But every other person, those that have never been born again, are all going to be there. Every person, not a soul, don't worry. And folks think, this person got away with it. Now let me assure you tonight, nobody in the world that ever lived is going to get away with anything. There's nobody getting away with anything. Every deed, every thought, every word, every deed is going to be there accountable to that person. And it's going to be perfect and it's going to be total. One great minister wrote tremendous insight and said, the judgment cannot be now when a person dies because your influence lives on to the end of time. So you don't stop living. You have cast an influence into the world. And that influence will be there until the end of time. You've affected people. And the total sum of your wickedness for those that are lost will be added up. And the total goodness of the righteous is not all finished when you die. The total goodness will be added up. And at the judgment you reap, well, as a Christian, the reward, the total, absolute total reward. Think of Paul as reward, who wrote all these books and those prison epistles and all the people that have been blessed by him in all these 2,000 years. What an incredible reward. What an incredible thing. And then the wicked, the wickedness that they've done, all that they've done will be totally added up and it'll be exact. God is perfect. It will be exactly what they've done. So nobody is getting away with anything. Everything will be there. Every lie, every immorality, every thought, everything will be there. And they'll be judged according to their works. The judgment will be accurate, perfect, and eternal. Jesus says, if you know him, the judgment is past. He was judged on the cross. That's why you drank his blood tonight. He took your judgment. So you'll never be judged. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? We don't face the judgment. Hallelujah. We don't face the judgment. No judgment for us. No judgment. Now, Paul said in Corinthians in the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, he says, some Christians he was using the communion, says folks have been taking the Corinthian church wrong. He says, now you have been, some were weak and some sickly and some dead. He says, because they didn't judge themselves and God judged them now. Now listen carefully. So they won't be judged at the end of time. If you would judge yourself, he says, then you won't have to be judged. But he says, Christians are judged and paid if they don't confess it. If there's something unsolved in their life, then God lets something happen to them that they will not be judged at the end of time. They have to pay differently. You pay differently. He says, judge yourself so that you won't be judged during this life. Then you have to be, as a Christian, judged in this life, because you're never going to be at that judgment. But he says, 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, you read it when you get home. He says there to those people, he says, now you folks took communion wrong. Rich people were insulting the poor, having great big meals and then taking communion, and the poor were starving and slaves and other people were there and they were so many different classes. And he said, that's a sin. Don't take communion like that. But he says, the reason is there's a principle involved, he says, that if they would have judged yourself, you wouldn't be judged. Because, he says, they are judged now, so they won't be at the end time judgment, because they are free from that. But your sin, if you don't confess it, you have to pay for it now. So you won't be in that judgment, at the judgment bar, at the end of time. So confession and getting rid of it and taking Holy Communion is extremely important, that God can bless your life and can sustain you and help you, that you don't have to, God has to punish you now if you won't confess it. If you will confess and judge yourself, your judgment is over. If you don't, then you have, God has to have a way of dealing with you now to bring you to a place that you can be without the judgment at the end of time, because that is over with. That Christ took. He paid for all of your sins. The only sins he can't pay for is unconfessed. You have to confess it. You have to confess your sin if you sin. And if you confess it, he'll forgive you and cleanse you from all of your sins, as John says, if you confess your sin. So we're asking you to confess any sin. Don't let Satan tell you it's all right. Confess wrong thoughts, wrong deeds, wrong things. You make it right so that you, that God can forgive you because of the cross. And even if you fail and don't understand that, he'll deal with you to bring you to a place of understanding, and there's a price to pay. So please get the fifth chapter straight, because at the end of time, you are not going to be there. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're judgment free. Hallelujah. So the new birth in the third chapter, it's peace in the fourth chapter, and it's no judgment in the fifth chapter for those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he gave his life for you. So when you receive this communion, always make sure that you're honest and make confession. When you fail, admit it and ask God's forgiveness. Confess your faults. Confess your sins to God, and he'll cleanse you, because we are free from judgment. His peace is with us. His seed is within us, and we win. God bless you, everyone. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God.
Praise the Lord. The Spirit of God is here. There are people who know that they are truly born again. They know that there is a peace from God that is theirs, that passes understanding, and yet they have to acknowledge that they have not grasped fully that peace because there is unconfessed sin. We want to give you an opportunity tonight. Those of you who can say, I know I'm a Christian. I know I put my faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know there should be a peace in my life, a peace that passes understanding. Yet there is a burden. There is a burden that is burning in my heart. And it's because I know that I'm holding on to something, and I'm giving it another name. I'm calling it something that it's not. I'm calling it good, but it's wrong. I'm giving it a name. I'm calling it one thing, and I know the Holy Spirit is trying to convince me that it's something else. God wants to give you that peace that passes understanding, but he is calling you now to come to him and to simply confess. Call it what it is, so that he can fully afford you the grace to repent. Allow Jesus now to cause your heart to be humbled in his presence. We're going to pray, and then I'm just going to ask you to stand. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you bring a supernatural humility. Those of us who have called, for instance, stubbornness, something like righteous indignation, or who have called anger and hostility something like righteous anger, or, Lord, things that we know are not right, we've given it a name, and you want us to be honest with you. Lord, those who you have bought with a price, who you have afforded a peace that passes understanding, Lord, would you make it so that we will not be deprived of the fullness of that peace? God, anyone in this room right now, I pray, touch every heart that needs to be spoken to now. And God, open the door for peace by causing confession and repentance. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We receive your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. If God has spoken to you tonight and you've received this word and you know that there is a peace that is yours because you are truly born again, but you've not fully grasped it because you're holding on to something that's not right, God has spoken to you tonight because he loves you and because he wants to draw you to himself. If you've heard from the Lord tonight, would you come to the front of this auditorium? Would you come to this altar? And we're going to pray together with you. And we're going to believe God for you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. As we were singing, we were praying, I just heard a very brief word from the Lord. And it's very simply this. When you and I call that which is evil, good, when we call that which is bad, good, we're not just calling that which is bad, good, but we're also doing something else. We're calling that which is good, bad. That is to say, if I call a sin a righteous thing, I'm also saying something about myself. I'm saying, see, God has already called me clean. If you're a Christian person, God has called you clean. So if I allow myself to do evil, what am I saying about myself? If I'm allowing myself to persist in evil, I'm saying something different about myself than what God has said. God has said that I have victory. God has said that I'm an overcomer. God has said that I can walk away from sin. But I'm saying something else if I persist in sin. I'm calling that which God has called clean, unclean. See, so there's a two-edged sword. So what God is saying to us is, don't call that which is wrong right. Don't give it a new label and make it sound better. Because when you do that, you give yourself a new label too. And you're saying things about yourself that God never said. And all the wonderful things God is saying about you, you're not taking full advantage of it. Now here's what God said about you, that you have peace. Peace that passes understanding. Don't say that your heart is in turmoil when God has afforded you peace. Don't say that your heart is angry or that your heart is worried or that your heart is fearful or your heart is lustful. Don't say that when God has said you have peace that passes understanding. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray your words over my brothers and my sisters. Your words of mercy and tender love. Your words of faith and trust and hope. Your words of promise, your words of peace. Peace that passes understanding, O God. We come against every lie of Satan that would try and say that your people are other than what you have said. Lord, we are not going to call that which you've called clean, unclean. And we are not going to call that which you've called unclean, clean. Lord, we confess our sin before you. We acknowledge, O Jesus, those things in our lives that are not right in your sight. We acknowledge them as sin. Lord, I pray your forgiveness upon each one at this altar, O God. Lord, each one that has had the spiritual courage to acknowledge their sin in your presence and to say, I want to call it what God calls it. And I want to be called what God calls me. I want to be called an overcomer. I want to be called victorious. I want to be called one who has the peace that passes understanding. I want to be called one who was born from above. I want to be called one who is born again. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for drawing my brothers, my sisters to this place. I thank you, God, for the spiritual humility and the courage that each one has had to bow down before your mercy and your grace, to judge themselves wisely by your Spirit, so that they might not be judged in that final day. Lord, we thank you for this. We bless you for it, O God. And now, God, I pray a peace. Supernatural peace that passes understanding, O God. We thank you for this, O Jesus. And we love you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you, my brothers and my sisters. Praise the Lord.